Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And today's date is April the 14th in the year of 2021. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot of things going on out here in our environment. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that the slogan for this show, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation, design, and workforce development companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment of young Black men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you also know, if you join us every week, that this show is brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Radio Talk Show Initiative, and by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, which is one of our latest policy organizations, which will be supporting this platform, the National Association of Blacks in Solar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you may know, there was a song made many years ago. It says, Papa may have, Mama may have, but God bless the child that has his own. Now, the reason why I'm saying that this morning to our listening audience, ladies and gentlemen, that I am Ronald Bethay. I wear several hats. I'm the president and founder of the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC. Also, I serve as the president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar and as the host of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We are broadcasting over the World Wide Web, over Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, Link, and this show can be heard on iTunes. With all of this being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to be able to welcome back to the airways of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America, Mr. Will Shirley of Sundial Solar based out of Jackson, Mississippi, who also serves as our Vice President of the National Association of Blacks in Solar. Good morning, Brother Shirley.
Mr. President, once again, it's a joy to be on your airway and communicating with your audience. Thank you, sir.
Well, Will, I'm glad that you were able to join us today. I want to know, let our listening audience, earlier this morning, myself and Mr. Shirley, we had the privilege of being guests on Dr. Faye Williams, the show on WPFW here in the nation's capital, in Washington, D.C., 89.3 on the FM dial, and we were scheduled for about 15 minutes, but Dr. Williams joined our own show a little late this morning, so we weren't able to get out all the information that we wanted to share with our listening audience today, but it's an emergency situation for the African American community as it relates to us coming together around this Biden infrastructure plan, the funding, the billions of dollars that is going to be going out into funding, and to look at what we have to do as the African-American community in our institutions, such as our HBCUs, our black banks, our black churches, our black nonprofit organizations, our black businesses, our commercial and residential property owners in this country, to look at what's in the Biden plan, infrastructure plan, and under and through renewable energy as the catalyst to move an agenda forward called the National Association of Blacks in Solar Green Economic Development Plan for Black America. And that is where and why I've asked the Vice President, Mr. Will Shirley, to come back on this show. Now, I'm going to set the table for our listening audience today as it relates to the why we are talking about the National Association of Blacks in Solar Green Economic Development Plan. This is an article that was just published by author Elisa Polino and Jamie Tankerley in the New York Times, dated March 31st, 2021. President Biden on Wednesday released a $2 trillion plan to shore up the nation's infrastructure and create jobs. The sprawling proposal showed would be paid for over 15 years in higher taxes on corporations. Here's how the spending plan breaks down. Okay? Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. The goal is to revitalize the aging and crumbling corridors of that get American people and products from place to place while reducing the sector's reliance on fossil fuels, estimated cost in billions. We're talking billions. We're not talking millions. We're talking billions. Electric vehicle incentives, $174 billion. Roads and bridges, $115 billion. Public transit, $85 billion. Passenger and freight railways, $80 billion. Disaster resilience, $50 billion. Airports, $25 billion. Improved road safety, $20 billion. Underserved communities, $20 billion. Water and ports. Now, I'm going to put a plug in this, and we're going to come back to this terminology, underserved communities. Under building and utilities, other large investments include more than $200 billion in tax credits and grants to improve and build affordable housing. Estimated cost in billions. Affordable housing, you're talking about pumping in $213 billion. High-speed broadband, $100 billion. Electric grid and clean energy, $100 billion. Public schools, $100 billion. Water systems, $66 billion. Eliminated lead pipes, $45 billion. Child care facilities, $25 billion. Veteran hospitals, $25 billion. Community colleges, $12 billion. Federal buildings, $12 billion. Now, before I move on to that, what under building and utilities does this say? That they all are getting ready to put billions of dollars in infrastructure for daycare. Well, somebody's got to put the solar system on top of the child care center. Somebody's got to put a new roof on it. Somebody's got to go in and put a new heat pump HVAC system. We're talking about billions of dollars in contract opportunities for our African-American solar installation design, workforce development training programs to train our young people to become electricians, to wire the electric vehicle infrastructure charging stations. We're talking about battery storage. We're talking about utilizing solar energy once again to help generate the energy, power the battery systems. Now, all of these physical infrastructure projects will bring billions of dollars, but who has a green economic sustainability plan but the African-American solar installation, design, engineering and workforce development companies, because their business models dictate that they develop prototypes and projects to be implemented in our community. They're our companies. And out of 9,000 solar installation and design and workforce development training companies, we've been able to not identify any more than 25 companies out of 9,000. Now, if I'm screaming this morning, I'm going to scream it to the rafters, because I want people to understand what we're talking about in terms of billions of dollars, jobs, and innovation. The plan goes beyond physical infrastructure, proposing more than $500 billion to invest in manufacturing sector, working training, and research and development. Goals, the president has said he wants the position of America to compete against China and other rivals in the race to build dominant industries of the future, like solar, manufacturing, semiconductors, and advanced batteries. Estimated cost in billions, domestic manufacturing, $52 billion for startups. National Science Foundation, $50 billion. Supply chain, $50 billion. Semiconductors industry, $50 billion. Workforce development, $48 billion. Clean energy manufacturing, $46 billion research infrastructure, $40 billion new dislocated workers programs, $40 billion climate technology, $40 billion small business support, $31 billion research and development, $30 billion pandemic preparedness, $30 billion research at historically black colleges and universities, $25 billion community investment, $20 billion innovation and competitiveness, $14 billion underserved communities, $12 billion. There goes underserved communities again. We're talking about two separate pools of money. The first segment was $20 billion. Now there's another $12 billion up under this category. New Rural Partnership Programs, $5 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, there needs to be a plan of action. Mr. Shirley, will you go into the plan of action and the national survey information that we put out back in October to lay out why it was necessary for us to revisit this conversation?
Yes, sir, I can. And again, thank you for allowing me to be on your program. But first, Mr. President, I would like for your listening audience to go to a website, your website, that is the positivechangepc.com website, where they can, under the news and events tab, they can see themselves all of the money that's scheduled to be allocated in these certain areas that you just went over. So if your listening audience can go to Positive Change PC, that's positivechangepc.com, go to the news and events tab, And click on, I believe that's going to be what's in Biden's infrastructure plan. I believe that's the title. But all of those figures are in there. Now, in terms of Black America and Black Americans' approach to getting part of this infrastructure situation directed toward our communities, our schools, our businesses, our churches, our nonprofits, that is the question and that is the problem. We as black people in this country and the National Association of Blacks and Solar, we're faced now with what could be called a detriment, but also could be called vast, vast opportunities for our black population in this country to be fully engaged in the renewable energy industry in order to help in Biden's climate change initiative. Right now, black people have no opportunity to broadly participate in this effort by the president. And what the National Association has done is put together a platform of issues that need to be addressed. And in the future, the very near future, the National Association of Blacks and Solar will present this platform in a congressional hearing on Capitol Hill in order to spotlight or bring light to the issues involved, whereas black Americans right now are poorly positioned to take economic advantage of what the industry, the renewable energy industry, has to offer. We have to correct this, and we have to correct it now, because if we don't, we'll remain as basic consumers and not owners of the power incentives and power structures that will be part of everybody's lives going into the future. Basically, what I'm saying is black people across the country are kind of left out of the energy industry. We've always been left out.
Let me say this to make it plain, as Brother Malcolm used to say. These infrastructure dollars are all of our dollars. We all pay taxes. We also have gas, water, and electric bills. In this country, politics and public policy determines how much each group gets of what. I want to read this to our listening audience to bring home what you just said. This is a piece taken from Power and Black Progress, written by Dr. Claude Anderson. It was published in his book, Black Labor, White Wealth, A Search for Power and Economic Justice. The impact of institutionalized power on blacks comes from Chapter 2, Power and Black Progress, page 31. The superior group, the power of white influence in all the institutions they built, government, school, businesses, churches, and social organizations, institutions were the means of emasculating values that would perpetually maintain the self-interest of European whites and their descendants. Thus, institutionalized power has become a major factor in maintaining the power of an imbalance between blacks and whites. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Government was one of the most powerful tools of the dominant society. Without the support of the power of the government, white society could not have enslaved and segregated blacks for centuries. The government, for example, enacted laws that forbid schools to accept black children and made it illegal to teach black persons to read or write. Initially, all former religious denominations accepted the abuse of blacks and even offered biblical justification for it. Through government, businesses, churches, and other institutionalized power holders, white society control the wealth, power, and resources. They also control blacks and their labor source. Now, I'm not going to argue the point. I read that to put a direct correlation as to what we're discussing this morning. We as African Americans have to be very careful when we hear the term underserved communities, communities of color, low and moderate income communities. I have been on several webinars this week. I was on one with the Chesapeake Action Network on yesterday. I have no grievances or issues. Each ethnicity in this country advocating for themselves. But don't tell me when a Hispanic Hispanic gentleman speaks about providing resources for communities of color, that he speaks for the African-American community. When I go to his website, it was all in Hispanics. It was called, the specific website I want to give out to our listening audience, Green 2.0. This webinar talked about a national proposal that the Chesapeake Action Network, other groups such as the Sierra Club, the Solar Industry Trade Association, SIA, the national, other national stakeholding white advocacy groups and Native American organizations that have formed a coalition to introduce policy for infrastructure on how these dollars are supposed to be spent, talking about half of it is supposed to go to communities of color. Then they talk about the disparities of in the black community with our health conditions, black folks. You talk about us, but nobody was there really but one young African-American gentleman by the name of Quentin Scott who spoke to some of these issues. We only got 1% first bailout plan. 1%. We were left out of it. The National Association of Blacks and Solar is demanding that 35% and the federal carve-out is that the Biden administration is put in place is 40%, but we're asking that 35% be invested in the African American community. If you're talking about communities of color, because proportionately we are at the bottom of everything. We don't even match up with the Hispanic community when it comes to employment numbers in the solar industry over the past 12 years. And it had not been for Barack Hussein Obama and black folks who went and voted in untold numbers to put him in office, there would have never been this takeoff of the solar industry, because if it had not been for the Green Jobs Act, which was introduced by Van Jones, Katrina hit New Orleans, and the Bush administration was so embarrassed that they passed public policy, which was called the Green Jobs Act, that codified renewable energy in this country, and it took off. Now, $500 million in workforce development training dollars came out of that. Each state got $10 million, including the District of Columbia. But where is the workforce development training program in Mississippi, Mr. Will Shirley, for African-American youth?
Well, in terms of solar training, there are none. Our company has been working with various entities in the state of Mississippi to establish that type of job training in the solar industry for over 4 years. We have finally came into agreement with Tougaloo College in order to put together a solar installation training component on their campus, of which Sundial Solar will be a part of. So other than that, job training in the renewable energy or solar industry for black people around the country is very hard to get to. So in other words, we have to, as the National Association moves forward in its business model and in its platform to create greater access to black people for business ownership and utilization of solar across the board for all of our organizations, our our nonprofits, our businesses, our churches, our schools, our communities, our municipalities, our counties, in order to be fully engaged as not from a consumer standpoint, but as an economic participant in that industry, we have to have solar job training across this country, particularly at the HBCUs, and particularly for all jobs in the training industry other than just solar installation. We need to look at solar research. There's all our HBCUs need to be fully involved in renewable energy research so that when breakthroughs happen, our community networks across the nation that we have to set up in order to become viable, and those networks include participating organizations like the NAACP and all of the black national organizations that we have in existence today. They all have to play a part in this because it is the energy industry. This is our black folks' opportunity to fully participate in the energy industry in this country, not as only consumers, but as inventors, as research folk, as manufacturing manufacturing outlets, as installation, operating and maintenance, all of that.
Brother Shirley, I know you're on a roll, and I don't want to stop you, but I want our listening audience to understand this. This is a webinar that I was just on with the office of this out there. It's referred to. I'm looking up the terminology from the department. It's called SETU. And this was a webinar that they just had talking about $39.5 million in grants will be given out for companies. The letter of intent has to be in by April 29th, 2020. Your concept paper has to be in by April 27, 2021. The application scoring process is 45% will be scientific data and research, 30% will look at financials, in-kind services, your capability to actually be able to deliver what you've indicated you've done research on. 15% is another portion of the formula I really did not jot down. But 10% is equity and inclusion. Now, I want to the earlier point of $32 billion for low and moderate income communities. And the biggest of dollars in workforce development training that we just talked about. All of this funding has to come and be put into a business model. The National Association of Blacks in Solar is the only organization right now that is comprised of African-owned solar installation, design, and workforce development training companies that have pilot projects that have already been funded by municipal governments, have had over 40 together. The our founding members, I would guess, would you could say would, because the solar and renewable energy industry is a newer industry, but what I would say combined would have over 30 years experience with projects, boots on the ground, contracts, and doing what they do every day. Where else, who else should be speaking at the forefront all about how these infrastructure projects should be funding the black community, but the owners of the African-American Solar Installation Design and Workforce Development Training Companies? The National Association of Blacks in Solar is the only policy organization speaking to this interest. And nobody's going to tell me that anybody else's ethnic group is going to speak for our interests. They're going to speak up for theirs, Will.
That's right.
And I ain't
That's right.
And I ain't mad at them. But when we're not invited to the table, and when I go on these webinars and I see low and moderate income communities and communities of color, and not one person, I put in the chat box, are you familiar with the National Association of Blacks in Solar? Because we're a newer organization of positive change. And I know I've been the only voice on the World Wide Web with a podcast for the last 4 years beating the drum around these issues. And ain't nobody called me. Anybody call you, Will, when it was time to sit down to talk about how we going to formulate policy? No. That's why we had to formulate our own organizational structure. Black folk.
That's correct. That's correct. It is vitally important, and the listening audience really need to understand this. Again, I want to say this again. Black people have never had the opportunity to fully participate in the energy industry of this country. Now, because of President Obama, we have an opportunity to become owners. We have owners of businesses that deliver renewable energy applications to our businesses and our homeowners and our churches and our nonprofits. We have the opportunity to set in place training for our secondary school participants, children, and young adults to become owners and operators in this industry in order to serve the vast population of black organizations and operations and businesses and people in this country. We do not have to take a back seat to this process. We can be in control, and we will be in control of our own renewable energy sources, and it starts with the National Association of Blacks in Solar. So even though the National Association is a young organization, it won't be young forever. We're going to be able to change this nation in terms of bringing forward support from our black-owned nonprofits across the country so that we can go ahead and set this basic infrastructure in place for the growth of black ownership in the renewable energy industry. So it starts with the letter, Mr. President, that I will complete now. Probably looks like in about a week and a half, I'll have that draft letter to Congress to proceed in the process of putting together the congressional hearing on the economic benefits of solar in our black communities. It starts right here. The organization is young, but the mission is huge. And with your leadership, Mr. President, I really think, and I just have to say this again, I know, you know, you may get tired of me saying this, but it's the truth. No one in this country has a platform that has spoken to these issues over the last 4 years except you. You are uniquely positioned to head the national organization in achieving its platform goals that will be presented to Congress. So, excuse me, I'm glad to be on board because my company operates in the state of Mississippi, which is a regulated state relative to renewable energy, but things are changing here as I also serve on the board of directors of the Gulf States Renewable Energy Industries Association, which has put together certain policy changes that will be presented to the Public Service Commission, Mississippi Public Service Commission, later on this month. Those changes concern net metering and community solar. But there is a list that we presented to the Public Service Commission and the association that goes further than that. And if that organization does not push for the more critical policy changes, then the National Association will, not only in Mississippi, but across the Southeast, across the nation. So I am, saying to your listening audience that this is a young organization, but the mission is great. And we have the right, for your listening audience, we have the right person in place in order to guide us in the right direction relative to education in the solar industry, participation in the solar industry, ownership in the solar industry, and all in preparation to serve ourselves, meaning our own black economic prospects in association with the renewable energy industry. That's my point. Yes, sir.
Look, Will, I appreciate all the flowers because I can smell them, okay? Now.
Well, sir, I'm just telling you the truth. There's nobody else that can do this job except you, and I'm proud to be associated with you. That's it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Now, Will, this is what I want people to do. I want to make it real plain to our folks. If you know of any African-American company that is a solar design company, if you would please reference them to Blacks, BLACKINSOLAR.org is blacksinsolar.org. There you will find a press release with our national survey asking for input from our solar installation, African-American solar installation design companies to take a part in this survey. We are providing a free membership right now to the organization so we can get the input, because we need to gather this data so we can bring it back to Congress. This is of the utmost importance. That's why I want to make sure I get that in before I let Brother Shirley go, because I've had him 15 minutes past the time that I had him scheduled for this morning, and this gentleman's very, very busy. Will, I want to thank you for taking time for your busy schedule to join me this morning. Is there anything you want to say to these folks in closing?
I just need to say that, you know, our economic prosperity, black folks' economic prosperity in this
country is closely connected with the supply and demand of energy. We have to understand that. Our children have to understand that. And in that understanding, we need to understand other things, that we need to get trained in this industry. We need to be owners in this industry, and we need to be providers of renewable energy services to our own people across the nation. It's simple as that. We can't be locked out of the energy industry any longer. So that's my main point.
Well, Will, I couldn't have said it any better. I want to thank you, brother, for taking time for your busy schedule to be a guest here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know stranger, and you won't be a stranger. So with that being said, I'm going to let you go, Will. So you have a great day, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. Now, that was Mr. Will Shirley, who is the vice president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar and the president and founder of Sundial Solar, based out of Jackson, Mississippi. His firm is the only African-American solar installation design company doing business in the whole state of Mississippi. Ladies and gentlemen, when I speak to you and tell you that we are not talking something just to be talking, we are walking this. These are realities. WDC Solar is here in Washington, D.C. It's one of our leading African-American solar installation and design companies. I just had Mr. Mark Davis on less than 2 weeks ago on this platform talking about the graduation class that his company just graduated. They just had trained almost 20 young African-Americans in and got their certifications. They're one of our few African-American solar installation companies that does workforce development training in this nation, and they do an excellent job at it. That program needs to be put on steroids. It needs to be funded and blown exponentially onto a national level. They have nowhere near the resources that they need. This is what this is about, ladies and gentlemen. We have companies that have proven track records, that have proven pilots, and we have to make sure we get our fair share of these infrastructure dollars to take these programs to where they need to be. It's not hard. Now, we're going to take a pause for the cause, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now and the Future with Executive.
Someone singing, I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 636-646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. And if you have been listening to our show this morning and you have any comments on what you heard, please Dial the call-in number at 646-668-2948. You'll be in our green room, but we want to bring you right on into the living room and set you down on the couch and have a conversation. So please remember to press 1 on the phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, that call-in number, 646-668-2948. Now, we're going to switch gears, ladies and gentlemen, because this is a very, very important announcement that was put out by Mayor Bowser's administration here in Washington, D.C. Coronavirus D.C. launches program to help residents impacted by pandemic with back rent, utilities. Apply here. Now, you'll be able to find that information on our website at positivechangepc.com, positivechangepc.com. This is a news release that was put out by WUS Channel 9 News here in Washington, D.C. And Washington, D.C. on Monday, D.C. leaders announced rental, mortgage, and utility assistance for residents through its new Stay DC program aimed at helping DC residents impacted by the pandemic. Residents who apply for rental assistance through the Stay DC can be eligible for receive money to cover up to 12 months of back due rent and utilities. 3 months for rent and utilities, and an extended housing support for up to 18 months. I didn't make any mistakes in what I just read, ladies and gentlemen. $350 million in rental assistance funding with Go to Stay DC to address housing instability for D.C. residents, Mayor Bowser said during a news conference on Monday. The program is funded by the December Congressional Appropriations Act and the American Rescue Plan. We encourage everyone who is struggling to access this for assistance, said an official on Monday news conference. Now you don't have to wait until you're facing eviction. The news program joins the existing assistance programs in the district launched during the public health emergency, which include tenant-based rental assistance program, $1.5 million in funding, COVID-19 housing assistance program, $20 million. Housing stabilization grants, $11.5 million. DC Mortgage Assistance Program, $1 million. Emergency Rental Assistance Program, $14 million. Emergency Solutions Grants, $27.7 million. Emergency Solutions Grants, $27.7 million. Low-income housing emergency assistance program, $16 million. As you have seen today, we have a big bucket of money to assist with rent, but we are not seeing the tenants take advantage of it, said Anita Bonds, at-large council members. When discussing the state of evictions in the city, Bowser said people should not wait these funds due to the moratorium doing, and she's urging residents to take advantage of the funds now. Officials said dozens of people have already started to apply. Landlords can apply on behalf of their tenants. The city is partnering with the landlords to get the relief to the community. If you are someone who needs rent, mortgage, or utility assistance in D.C., click here, call 833-4-STAY-DC. Once again, call 833-4-STAY-DC. That is the phone numbers, ladies and gentlemen. We have to beat the drum because that's our folk out there. And people need help because people are hurting. And that's real talk. Okay? That's real talk. So we're going to continue to beat the drum and get this information out. Now, I only had a few minutes, but I have one more topic, Matt, I want to get in, and I'll have it all in how we program the show for the day. We often try to look out for our young folks, so I want them to know that there's an intern program, a paid internship. You can find that job description. It's in Indeed, but I put it under our news and events tab, and you'll be able to find that information. It's the salary pays $15 to $18 an hour. Full job description, World Resources Institute is an independent nonprofit global research organization that turns big ideas into actions and the nexus of environment, economic opportunity, and human beings. Now, you can read all the fluff in what they claim they said they're going to do, but the internship is, the application deadline is April 25th, 2021. Okay, so you need to be able to go to the website at positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab. If you click on our news and events tab, you'll see the job description and you'll see the information there. So with that being said, we've got about three more minutes. So if you're out there, you can call 646-668-2948. Once again, you can call 646-668-2948 because we really laser focused at trying to finish on time today because it is the National Action Network's national convention. You can go online to the National Action Network.net and enroll and participate in this powerful convention that Reverend Sharpton and the National Action Network is putting on through to Saturday, which I'm a proud member of the D.C. land chapter and a member of the National Action Network. So I'm going to put it out there so people can know that, you know, this is a platform that we share information with organizations that's doing the work. And the National Action Network is the number one premier civil rights organization right now in our current time. With that being said, you know this show is brought to you by who? The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC. And you know the slogan for this show? If it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American installation, design, and workforce development training companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young black men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through black talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. So like I said, ladies and gentlemen, you know it's also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to the website, going over to our GoFundMe link. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, we're not the greedy, but we definitely are the needy. So you can make a donation to help this platform take it to the next level. So that's left up to you if you think what we're talking about is true. So we try to bring it to you every week. And until next week, we say go in peace as we close another edition of this show, Soul and Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America.
Someone singing, why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Singing, why don't you sing it?